Good to see everyone again. We can catch up a little bit more and all that stuff. But it's good to see like familiar faces and some new ones. And so, looking forward to meeting some of you guys. A lot has happened, I think, since I've been gone. I don't know. But yeah, Kobe retired. That was a big deal. Okay. Yes, there was mourning. I got engaged, okay, at the beginning of, thank you, the beginning of the year. So we're getting married next month, 5 weeks, okay, which is crazy. Thank you, thank you. And Jessica, she is not here. She just started, actually, her MFT program, Marriage Family Therapy. So she wants to be a counselor. And yeah, it's starting in APU, and she's going to the Orange campus. And we just got an apartment in Anaheim, okay, and so she's like furnishing the place right now. She's like building all the IKEA furniture, and there's another website called Wayfair, and we bought a lot of chairs and tables on there, and so, yeah, it should be the other way around. I should probably be building that stuff. Yeah, a lot has happened. I don't know, Pokemon Go, whatever. Okay, I don't know what you guys are into, but we can catch up later in mealtime, so that'll be great. Just so you guys know, I eat like dinner with my mom every week, Sundays, and we talk about church, okay? And you know, I know the church, you know, CCSV, and so it's good. You know, I pray for you guys every week, and it's like very near and dear to my heart. And so I'm very honored to come and just speak to you guys, encourage you guys, catch up with you guys. I'm looking forward to that. The topic that we're going to be talking about is, I think, the theme for the year, which is leading people to Christ and loving one another in Christ. Okay, and so what I want to go through is I just wanted to go through a book of the Bible. That's like all I know how to do. I'm not a very creative person. I could just the Bible, that's all I got. All right, and so we're going to go through Ephesians, kind of parts of it, and I'm going to kind of. It's like Ephesians is kind of confusing because he hits a topic and then he kind of like talks about something else and then he goes back to another topic, and so we kind of go back and forth. But we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, and yeah, so that's where we're going to be for the rest of the next couple of days. And I love retreats, and I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I know some of you guys already started school, which is terrible, okay? And some of you guys didn't start yet, so you are blessed, okay? You should take advantage. Yeah, I don't know where you guys are at, but I think retreats are always good. If nothing else, like even if I bomb these messages, okay, if nothing else, it's a good time just to get away, I think. Because, you know, doing the same thing year in and year out, having the same job, going to the same friend groups, you kind of get sometimes like stuck in a rut. I don't know if you guys ever feel like that. And when I kind of get stuck in a rut, what happens to me is like when I sing like these songs that we just sang, it doesn't really like feel like anything, to be honest, right? It's just like, oh, like I already memorized this song, so my mouth just like automatically like says the words, but my mind is like somewhere else. Like my heart is somewhere else. I'm like thinking about other stuff, right? And so I think retreats are a good time, if nothing else, just to disconnect, refocus on God, refocus on His people and just the people here. And yeah, hopefully focus on the gospel again. Okay. And so today, tonight, I'm really straightforward. Okay. I just wanted to encourage us, so we could be reminded in just who we have in Christ. Okay, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, just starting off with the gospel. Okay, again, that's pretty much all I got. And so, if you're sitting there and you're wondering, like, man, I wonder if Chris got, like, better at speaking, all right? Sorry to let you down, all right? But, it's pretty much the same thing. Okay, you know, I heard this from this one pastor, but he says, he's like, hey, you know, like, just so you know, for the next couple of days, like, I'm not a very creative person. This pastor, not to steal his thunder, his name's Alex Choi. He goes to Sovereign Grace, okay? For like integrity issues, I feel like I have to say that. But he said, like, you know what? Gospel preaching, like, is just pretty much like, he's like, it's pretty much like Taco Bell preaching, okay? And I don't know if you guys like ever been to Taco Bell in your life, okay? The food is gross, but delicious, right? It's like terrible for you, but it's like pretty good. And if you haven't noticed, Taco Bell, it's like, it's the same thing. Like, every item on the menu is just the same thing, just a little bit different, right? It's like, think about it, a taco is just like a small burrito, right? And then if you, like, nachos are just like if you chopped up the burrito and like fried it or something, right? Everything's like pretty much the same thing at Taco Bell, right? It's just, they have the same like three ingredients and they just like move it around, right? And so gospel preaching, that's pretty much what it is, okay? Everything I talk about, essentially it's the same thing. All I'm talking about is Christ and the gospel, okay? And so hopefully, it'll be a blessing, hopefully in some way, God will use it as an encouragement. But before we get into this, can I pray for us? And then we'll dive right in, okay? God, we thank you for, this time just to, catch up with one another, disconnect from the world. And if a lot of us are not even mindful of you, and, if some of us are just honestly in a place where our relationship, God, with you is very dry. It's difficult, whatever season we're in. God, we just ask that this retreat, we can refocus on the gospel. We can refocus on who we are and what we have in you, in Christ. And so be with us, God. We ask your spirit to soften our hearts and move us back into a place, God, where we're closer to you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jump right in. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, if you have like a phone or tablet, click to the right places or turn your pages. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to jump right in. Paul, he starts. And see, the book of Ephesians, Ephesus is the church, okay? And Paul has a really like close relationship with Ephesus because he ministered there for so long. And so every time he speaks there, it's very intimate. And so it's very fitting for this. Ephesians 1, verses like 1 and 2, Paul, he just gives his typical introduction, right? He's like the same old, like, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, blah, 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 okay? All good stuff, really good stuff, right? And then what he usually does is he goes into thanksgiving, okay, for the church. But what he does starting in verse 3 is a little bit different. Instead of jumping right into thanksgiving, he begins actually not with talking about the people, but he actually blesses God. Right, and this is kind of a weird concept, but I'm going to start in verse 3 for us. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I'll continue to read. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of the glorious grace which he has blessed us in the beloved. Right? And I'm just going to stop right here in verse 6, but he starts with blessing God. Okay, Paul. Instead of thanksgiving, he's blessing God. And what blessing God is he's just thankful and joyful. He's expressing that to God. It's like praise right now. And he's saying, pretty much in this section, if you guys were confused with all the big like spiritual words, he's saying, I bless God because God has blessed us, specifically because he has blessed us in Christ, because of what we have in Christ. And so he talks about all this stuff. He talks about that we're adopted as his sons. We have new status. We praise him because of grace we've been saved. It's all because we've been blessed in Christ. So Paul begins with blessing God. He's thankful. He's joyous towards God. And so we have this phrase that we're going to see, okay? And he's talking about Jesus Christ as this great blessing for us. And so in the next section, just following with the structure here, we have three in hymns, in Christ. And so why is Christ such a big blessing for you and me? And Paul kind of lays it out for us. And there's three in hymns that we see. And I'm going to like blitz through this really quick, okay? So the first in hymn starts in verses 7 through 10. And what Paul is saying is, all things are united in him. All things are united in Christ. And so the first in him, starting in verse 7 through 10, let me read this for us. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite, listen, all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And so the first reason why we're so blessed to have Christ is all things are united in him. Everything, everyone, that's his goal. He wants to unite us through his blood, through the cross. That's what it looks like. And see, Okay, as I'm getting married, okay, I have to do like marriage counseling and like all this other stuff, okay, where you have to buy a place, buy all these nice things. But one thing that we have to discuss is like the ceremony. Okay, that's a big deal, okay? And so this week I put together like the ceremony thing, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to a wedding, but they have this moment where it's like the union, right? It's like you take two candles, okay? And then these two people, the bride and the groom, they walk up, and then they like, you know, it's all dramatic because someone's like playing a beautiful song, and then they light the candle in the middle, right? And then the pastor will say something like, you know, these two people are now one, right? Just like these two candles, so they light it and they blow it away, right? And for my church, we have like a fire code, so no fire, okay? So it's like, we take sand, right? And then we pour it in like this bigger jar. It's like, oh, these two are one, right? And it's the picture of union, okay? And what union looks like, it's, see, me talking to my friend, he was asking me, my single friend, he was like, hey, so, nothing wrong with being single, okay? But, he was like, yeah, so what is, like, marriage like? I have, like, no idea, right? And so, I was like, I don't know, like, you know, I'm not married yet, but, I was just kind of explaining to him, like, yeah, when I think about Jessica, I'm thinking about, like, you know, she's gonna start school, and she's gonna have to move churches from her church, which she loves, to my church, like, and, like, her family, and all this stuff. I'm, like, just describing it, and then, my friend was like, oh, okay, so marriage, it kind of sounds like all her problems, like, are your problems. Like, is this a picture of, like, union, right, marriage? And I'm like, kind of, right? And it's kind of like, oh, that's not so good, but it's, in some sense, it's really awesome, right? Whatever you struggle with, like, my burdens are her burdens. Like, she treats my problems, like, as her own, and I treat her problems as my own. Like, I think about it that much. And that's what union looks like, right? And it's not just negative, right? Also positive, like, you know, because we're good, like, I'm a good, like, Chinese person, right? I'm like, okay, you know what? For the wedding, it's going to be a lot of money, all right? And so I need to maximize my credit. So I need to open a new credit card, right? You got to get the points, right, for the honeymoon, for all that good stuff. And so I was like, you know what? Okay, we're going to go to Chase. I'm going to open a new Chase Sapphire account. It's going to be awesome, get double points, right, whatever. And so I went there. And then I signed up, right? And then they're like, okay, so what's your income? And I'm like, not much, right? And he's like, oh, no worry, man. You know, they don't even check this stuff, right? So the agent's like, you know, I'm going to put like $100,000, right? I don't make anything close to that, right? And he's like, oh, it'll be fine. You're going to get approved right away. You know, you'll have a high credit limit, whatever. And then he's like, oh, so are you going to have someone else on your account? You know? And I was like, oh, like, I haven't thought about that, right? But maybe, right? Should I add Jessica? Okay, I should add her, right? And, you know, she's gonna be doing a lot of, like, the purchasing and stuff. And so I was like, okay, can I add Jessica Choi to the account? Okay? And so when I got my credit card, she got her a credit card as well, but under my account, okay? So it's awesome for her, right? And so what she gets to do is, oh my gosh, this dress is so cute, right? Swipe, right? Oh dude, these tables are so nice, right? Swipe, and then guess what? Because it's on my account, all the debt that she accrues, everything she spends, guess what? I am paying, right? And so union, right? Not just the problems, right? But also the credit, right? You get some good stuff out of it too. And that's the picture of union, right? Christ wants to unite all things, all people to him. And this is the picture of what it looks like. See, all the problems, all the debt that we have, that we owe, all the burdens, it falls on Christ. And he carries it for us. But at the same time, all the credit, everything that he has, his righteousness and holiness and blamelessness, everything is transferred onto us as well. See, he wants to unite all things, all people to him. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. He wants to unite all things. The second thing, he wants to work out all things in him. We're going to look at verses 11 to work out all things. It's verse 11. Let me read this. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the will of him who works out all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And so what he's talking about right here is Paul saying, God planned everything. He's working out everything for you to have an inheritance. He's saying you have obtained this inheritance that's part of God's plan. And the reason why we have this inheritance is because of our status. Who we are. We're sons, so we get an inheritance. And he's saying these great things, this inheritance, all the spiritual wealth and riches, love, joy, peace, all these things are yours. He's working everything out. This is part of his plan for you to have this, because this is who you are, because of your, our relationship with God. So that's the second thing. He works out all things for his glory, for our good. And thirdly, the last in him, all things are secured in him. Verses 11 through 14, let me read this. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13 and 14. In him you have also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Again, right? And so the third thing we have is all things are secured in him. See, everything good that God blesses us with, it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the idea of the sealing is, okay, you know, a letter, I know you guys don't even like, when's the last time you guys mailed a letter, right? Let's be like, never, right? But I'm doing invitations right now, okay? And so I'm doing this stuff. You know, if you buy like a fancy brand, have you heard of Papyrus? It's like a very expensive, I love that brand, okay? But there's a seal, you know, that little like hummingbird gold sticker? You're like, oh man, this card is like $10, right? It's so nice. The seal, back then, a seal would be made out of wax or clay, right? And someone would stamp it. And so it would have to be kind of soft. It would kind of heat it up, stamp it, and then it would be closed. So that means it's official, it's done, right? No one opens that back up. It's sealed, it's secured. That's what Paul is saying here. Everything good that you have, everything good that God has blessed you with, everything that truly matters is secure. Nothing can ever take it away, right? And so that's what it looks like. It's guaranteed, right? All the good things we have can never be taken away. And this is the blessing we have in Christ. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to talk to us about today. Paul starts out and he says, you're so blessed. He's saying, I bless God, actually. You're so blessed because of Christ. And this is why you're so blessed. In him, we have all these things. He's uniting us. He's working out everything. He's sealing everything good in Christ. That's what we have in Christ. This is the blessing we have. But then the question comes. Okay, see, I'm looking at your faces. Okay, I'm just being very honest. Paul is so hyped about Christ being the greatest blessing. But as I'm talking to you about Christ being your greatest blessing, you guys know the gospel. You heard oh, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Oh, I'm saved from hell. Oh, that's nice, right? Oh, that's pretty good. But, oh, I'm so excited about sports. Or I'm so excited about this movie. Or I'm so excited to hang out with my friends. My job, money, whatever it is. We don't truly, okay, I think a lot of us don't truly believe that Christ is our greatest blessing, right? It's really hard for us to actually consider Jesus Christ as our greatest blessing. See, a youth student, okay, so listen up, you guys, okay? A youth student in Tim Keller's church once said to him, Pastor Tim Keller, right, he's like my mentor figure, right, my good friend, right? This girl asked Tim Keller, so, you know, hearing you talk about the gospel, okay, so Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Okay, all my problems go on to him. He is my significance, my status, all this good stuff. He gives me all this good stuff. Great. And she says, but I'm still struggling. I know that Jesus, because of Jesus, I get to go to heaven. But I want that boy to like me. And he doesn't like me. What should I do? And she was serious. She's like, I get it. Everything you're talking about out there, I understand what you're saying. Okay? The gospel, great. Okay? Jesus Christ, awesome. But I want this boy to like me. What's going on here? Right? What is the situation? Because I think that actually reflects my heart. And maybe if we're honest, that kind of reflects our heart. Right? Oh, I know about Jesus. He's supposed to be so great. But, you know, I care about so many of these other things. Right? What's going on? And I think part of the reason is because we're blessed with so many other things. We have so many other blessings in life. It's hard for us to believe that Christ is our greatest blessing. What do I mean by that? I mean by this, right? We have great relationships, right? We have great friends, some of us. I have like okay friends, okay? But I have Jessica, okay? And some of us, we have like, I don't know, hopefully boyfriend, girlfriend, I don't know, I haven't, okay? Some of us have great spouses, some of us have great family members, great parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, whatever it looks like. We have great relationships, people we know, the leaders we have, coaches, teammates, whoever they are. There's great people in our lives, relationships. A lot of us in here are successful, okay? There's high achievements. I know some of you guys are really smart, just to be really honest. You guys have, like, masters and beyond that stuff, okay? A lot of that. there is a lot of achievements, there's a lot of wealth, there's a lot of nice things we have, right? I just got an apartment. You guys have nicer houses. It's paid off, right? That's nice. I got a new car. Did you guys know that? So no more van, no more Sienna. I got a Camry, okay? Because a youth student broke my door. Okay, that doesn't. But anyway, right? So some of us have nice cars. We have nice things. Okay, some of you guys are working out, right? You guys are very slim. Okay, I'm trying to get into the wedding form right now, so there's a lot of changes going on. Okay, some of you guys, it's your health, it's your looks, it's whatever. We're blessed with these things, okay, in our lives. It could be achievements in school, it could be making the team, it could be playing an instrument, whatever those things are. I think it's hard for us to consider Christ as our greatest blessing because we have so many of these other blessings, okay? And not that these blessings are bad. These blessings are great. They're good. These blessings are good. But the problem with blessings is we have them for so long. God gives us these blessings for so long that we begin to get attached, right? We start getting used to these comforts and what we have in our great mind. And, oh, people like me, my popularity, what they think of me. We're used to these things. And so we get attached to it. And the real problem with blessings is blessings can come and go. They're not here forever. God gives and He takes away, and rightfully so. And so the danger is attaching, not ourselves, but because we have these blessings for so long, we begin to attach our status, we begin to attach our security, and we begin to attach our significance to these blessings. And when these blessings are good, we're good. And life is okay. You know, we can get through things because we have these people. These people, they like me. My friends like me. Oh, I'm doing well in school. I have my job. I have my house. I have these people. My children, everything is going well, so I'm good. But when these blessings go, or when they change, we get ruined. That's what happens when we attach our status, our security, and our significance to these things. That's what can happen. And for all of us, it's different. It looks different, okay? What it looks like is some of my youth students, okay, they talk to me and they're like, hey, I'm moving to a new school. I don't know anyone in my high school. And they're like really sad, right? And they're like, I don't know what to do. They're like freaked out. And they're like, you know what? Like, I ate lunch, just like the movies, I ate lunch in the bathroom by myself. And they're like, I don't know anyone. I'm lonely. Like, I think I'm depressed. Right? Some of them say that to me. For some people, it's friends and what people think. For other people, it's your performance, what you get academically, like SATs, GPA, your income, your net worth, what you can attain, what you have achieved. If you lose your job, you fall into a depression. If you mess up a performance, like some of my friends are so talented, they perform musically. If they blow a performance, they're crushed. Like their whole, like for months, a season of their life, they're like ruined. They put so much weight into that. That is who they are. Their performance, how much they make, what other people think of them. For another student, he was saying, recently, me and this girl I like, you know, I love her so much. We've been going out for like 4 months, right? We broke up. And what he's saying is, he's like, this past year I had was the hardest year of my life. He's like, I didn't want to tell anyone. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my friends. I only told like one other person. He's like, I tried to kill myself twice. Because she was my world. She was my everything. And see, this is the danger of us. God is so good to us. Blessings should lead us to God. But sometimes when it's in our life for so long, and we get attached to it. And not only that, but when we start attaching our status, who we are, our identity, our security. Man, we have to have this. Our significance. Man, if that person doesn't like me, I'm nothing. If we start doing that, and those things go away, we're ruined. Right? And Tim Keller says this. He says, every blessing you have from God, and this is, I hate to break this reality to you, but this is very true, I think. He says, every blessing you have from God, your money, your relationships, everything you've acquired, your great mind, your temperament, your health, everything you have in life, every blessing you have will be taken away. You'll lose it. It'll deteriorate, or it'll be pried from your hands. eventually, it's sad to say, as much the person you love, whatever it is, you're gonna lose. Every blessing you have will be taken away. You won't have it one day. There's gonna be one day when you're not gonna have that thing, that person. It's gonna change. It's not gonna stay like that forever. It's impossible. It's completely impossible. And so what are we supposed to do? Those things, the blessings that God gives, as good as they are, they're not worth us attaching our status, our security, our significance to. Your net worth should not be connected to your self-worth. It doesn't work like that. The picture, I think, is in Christ, for Christ to be considered our greatest blessing, we shouldn't attach everything to those other things, to those minor things. We should attach everything to Christ. See, look at this passage. Do you see this? See, when I was talking about Jessica, the union, that picture we have, uniting all things, see, she's going to be my significant other. My significant other. That means out of everyone in the world, I'm looking at her and I'm like, she's the most important person that I care about. And she's saying the same thing, vice versa. Our significance should not be tied to another person. Our significance should be tied with Christ, who we are in Him. As being children, as being loved by God, that relationship with Him, that is our true significance. We're of worth, not because of what that person, or that boss, or that friend, what that teacher thinks of you. That's not what your significance is in. It's not in another relationship. It's in your relationship with God, with Christ. See, that is your status. That's who you are. Right? And our security, it shouldn't be tied in our home, how much we have saved up, how high our SAT, GPA, all this stuff. That's not what our security is in, how smart you are, your mind. No, no, no. Our security, the reason why we feel safe, it's not because we live in Torrance or PV, and that's such a safe neighborhood. No, that's not our true security. It's in Christ. We have a God that has a plan, and He's sovereign, and nothing truly valuable can be taken away from us. That's the security we have. That's our everything. We should attach our status, our security, our significance, everything we have in Christ. And when we do that, we will be able to consider Him as our greatest blessing. All those other things, yeah, they're good. They're nice to have, but they're not ultimate anymore. We can move on without them. See, at our church, I don't know if you guys have seen this, it's actually like getting pretty popular, but at our church, we have a lot of people kind of following this one group, this kind of page on Facebook. I don't know if you guys know. It almost went viral, but it's called Updates on Emily. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. But we have a lot of our church members who are very connected with the people there. And so if you don't know the story, Updates on Emily, it's about Emily, this little girl. She's only 3 years old. And when she was only a few months old, she actually was diagnosed with cancer. And that's, I think that's like pretty like rare for, you know, someone so young. And because she was diagnosed with cancer, she had to go through like chemo and all this stuff. And she was a trooper. She was so cute, right? She like, they would post up videos and like, oh, you know, she's going through this, but she's still like hanging in there. We're still praying for her. And they posted like a month ago, you know, and they would send out updates like, pray for us, you know, things are going well, it's good, pray for us. And then at one point, what happened is people were, her dad actually posted, and her dad said, you know what, we're so sad to inform you guys, but things have taken a turn like in a bad way. And so, you know, she's actually going through a really hard time, and pretty much at this point, like, there's not much we can say. There's not much we can do. And we need to face the reality at this point, within the next few days, within the next few weeks maybe, that she can pass away. Right? And this dad, okay, this is like the saddest thing a dad has to go through, but he's also actually a pastor in NorCal. So a lot of our church people, we know them. And also, it kind of hit close to home to us because at our church, just last year, at the beginning of the year, we had a baby girl, Brooke, pass away from our church. And so our whole church like prayed for her, we were praying for her, and we like all mourned together. And so news like this is crazy, okay? It's so hard. And on the page, it got shared like 100,000 times. So people were like, you know what, even though like it's gonna be over, like we're praying for you, we're praying for your family, like God can still work miracles, it's okay. And then just a few weeks ago, the dad posted it again, and he said, you know, our daughter, Emily, she went home to the Lord, right? And we're going to have a huge celebration service, actually, in NorCal, if you want to come. You know, we'd be happy to have you. Thank you for the prayers. And so, you know, I wasn't too close to them, but the dad actually posted a video on Facebook. And he's like, you know, if you've been following us and praying for us, thank you so much. We wanted to show this video of her eulogy. And so because her dad is the pastor, he gave the eulogy for his own daughter, right? Which is like insane to like think about. It's like gotta be like this, one of the saddest things, right, you can imagine. And so he's up there and he's talking about her. And he's like sharing fond memories, and he's like, oh man, I loved it when, like, you know, we would go and hang out in the park, you know, like, she was so happy, and I loved it when, like, you know, she would joke around and mess around with her brother, you know, she was so funny, and like, so like, friendly, and she would love to talk to people, and like, sing, and she was so awesome. And then at the end of his message, his kind of sermon, eulogy, he said, you know, I'm so sad, because I love my daughter so much. I love her so much, like, you can't imagine. But I'm looking forward to the day when I see her, and it's going to be amazing. And then what he says next was like very interesting. He says, you know, I'm looking forward so much to seeing my daughter Emily, but more than that, I'm looking forward so much to seeing Christ, my Savior. I'm looking forward to seeing him so much more than her, even though I love her. It's about Christ. That's what he's saying. It's about Christ. How is a dad able to deal with such pain? How are we able to deal with pain like losing a friend, getting betrayed, losing a job, losing people, relationships, things we care about? How are we able to deal with that? Like that pastor was able to. Why? Because even though he loved his daughter so much, that relationship, he didn't attach his significance, his status, his security to her. Even though he didn't have that, As much as he loved her, as good as she is, he put everything in Christ. And the only way for us to consider Christ as our greatest blessing is if we do that. If we don't, we're going to be ruined by a broken relationship, by losing something, an achievement, not living up to what we could be, whatever that looks like, losing our health, losing a loved one, anything. And if we attach everything to Christ, that's also the only way we're going to be able to get through life. That's the only way you're going to be able to get through things, if you do this. And so please, my encouragement for us is just this. You know, blessings are great. They're good. They're from God. Okay? We should rejoice in having all the blessings we have. And we should rejoice and be thankful and joyful in having them for so long, because God is so good to us. But don't attach everything. Don't attach yourself to those things. They're not worth attaching to. That's not what it looks like. Put everything, who you are, your identity, your status, your security, not in anything else, but in Him, your significance, your worth in Christ. Because that's what He's worth. He's worth everything. You're everything. And as we begin to do that, we'll be able to be like Paul. When Christ is our greatest blessing, we'll be able to bless God. We'll be able to sing. You'll start feeling it more. It's not just going to be words and your mouth just goes autopilot because you know the song. You're going to be able to see Him as who He is. That's who He is. He is everything. He's worth everything to you. And so we'll be able to sing. We'll be able to sing in thanksgiving and joy. And we're going to be doing that in a little bit, right? And when we bless God, when we worship Him, see, that's what it's about. Haven't you noticed this? Every praise song, who is it about? Not us. It's not like, oh man, dude, I have this car, praise God, I have this thing, praise... No. It's God. He's doing this. He has a plan. He's in control. He's good. I'm praising God for Him. My status, my security, my significance, everything is in Christ. I attach myself to Him. He is of highest worth. When Christ is our greatest blessing, we're able to bless God. We're able to do that through anything. That's what it looks like. See, blessings are good to have, but Christ, God, He's great. Let me pray for us, okay? And I'll do this every session. Can I, instead of me just praying for you guys, I think it's always a little bit more organic when I just kind of lead us in prayer topics. Okay, and so I'm gonna quickly just lead us in like a few, two things actually very quickly, and then I'll invite the praise team up. But the first thing I want us to pray for is take some time right now, just between you and God. Okay, think about the things that you care about, that you value, that you lose sleep over, that you stress about. What are the things in your life that if you lose, man, you're going to feel like you're ruined? What are the relationships in your life that if you feel like, man, if that person changes their mind, their opinion about me, if that relationship is gone, if that achievement, if that car, if that grade, if those things are gone, then I'm going to be ruined. What are those things? And again, if we don't offer these things up to God, eventually every blessing will be taken away. Eventually, it'll be lost, it'll deteriorate, you're going to lose it, or it'll be pried out of your hands. So why not offer it up to God? Why not just say right now, whatever this is, as much as I care about this, it's not as important as you. It's not as important as Christ. These blessings are good, but God, you're even better. So why don't we spend some time, maybe just like a minute, thinking about these things, these relationships, these achievements, these comforts, and why don't we offer up some of these things that God is kind of bringing to mind, some of these people maybe. Let's take a moment just to offer those things up to God. Let's pray. And next, the second and last topic, I just wanted us to pray about, you know, considering Christ as our greatest blessing, the ultimate, our everything. That's not easy to do, I think, for a lot of us. And, you know, although we know it, we can say it. You know, it's the right answer to say. Yeah, God is my everything. Yeah, it sounds nice. But I think a lot of us have a hard time really believing in that. Like, really singing and feeling and living like that's true in our life. And so why don't we take a moment and just pray and ask God for help in saying, God, I want to attach my status to you. I want to believe that your opinion matters. Not my friend, not my parents, not my teachers, not my coach, not my boss, but you. That you call me a child, that you love me. That is my status. That is who I am. That our security is not in anything that we have, not any of these other blessings, but in Christ, that he says we are secure, that nothing good we have will ever be lost or taken away, and that our worth is in God. It's so hard for us to believe in these things, and so why don't we pray to God and ask, God, I want you to be my everything. I want to attach myself to you, but God, help me. Help me remember. Help me believe. Help me when I doubt. Help me when I don't care. When I'm apathetic, and I might be apathetic right now, God, I don't care about you, but I want to care. I need to care about you. So God, help me. Why don't we spend some time praying for this, for Christ, for us to be able to consider Christ as our biggest blessing, our greatest blessing, and for help to do that. Let's do that for a minute, and then we're going to sing about God, and we're going to have an opportunity to bless his name. And so why don't we spend some time doing that?